He's been good to me. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before you and we're in your presence already, but we're coming before your written word, and we do so humbly but with an expectation, with an excitement, God, that you live in your word, you abide in your word, and Father, you speak through your word and you give us revelation through your word, and we just thank you, Father. Praise you and honor you for all the good things that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 amen. You know, God is for you. Did you know that? God is for you. He's got your best interest at heart. Even when he, you know, corrects you, which hopefully he does, right? How many want to be right all the time, or you want to be right with him all the time? Right? I want to be right with him. But his word is there to correct us. It's to move us, to guide us, to change us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Just a story, and it has nothing to do with what I'm going to preach about, but I'm just going to tell it anyway. I've shared this before, but my good friend Gary went home to be with the Lord. His daughter lives in Tulsa. And when I go back for winter Bible seminar every year, I visit with her. And this year, I was visiting with her, and she said, I've been to counseling, and I've been to, you know, even pastoral counseling and you know, worldly counseling, and I've done all of that. And, you know, it might have done a little good, but not much. You know, just honestly, didn't really work for me. She said, but I decided that, you know, I'm going to give God's word a chance. Right? Now, she grew up in church like most of us, and, you know, been to church. She works in church. She's part of the ministry of church. But she decided, now listen to this, she decided, I am going to read the Bible through every 3 months. From Genesis to Revelation, every 3 months. And she said, I've been doing that now for about 2 years. And it's done more for me than any counseling I've ever had, any sermon that I've ever heard preached, because the Word of God is alive. And even though, you know, you're reading through it, you go, okay, I got these 15 chapters to read, and I'm reading, and I need to get through because I got to go to work and all of that. And you might not seem like you're getting everything out of it, but it's working in you. The Word is alive. The Word is powerful. It's food for your spirit. The Word is food or nourishment for your spirit. Right? It's the last time that you ate spinach, you probably didn't feel all the vitamins and stuff that were, you know, minerals that were going into your body. You probably didn't. But if you'll eat the right food for a long time, it'll make a difference in how you feel. Right? The right nourishment. Instead of the junk, you start putting in the Word of God. You start putting, instead of listening to the news all the time, you put in the Word of God. And instead of listening to how bad things are, you start putting in the Word of God, and it'll do something for you. Amen. You may not feel it. It may not seem like anything is happening, but if you stick with it, it will change you. Here's the cool thing, but it doesn't change you from the outside in. It changes you from the inside out. Woo! Glory to God. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. That wasn't in my message, but it's free. It's not going to take another offering. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you this morning about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. I said the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the third part of the Godhead. We call the Trinity whatever. You know, the Trinity is not really in the Bible. But there's God the Father, there's God the Son, and then there's the Holy Spirit. Jesus, when he went away, he said, listen, it's very expedient or important that I go away. I've read that and went, what? Jesus, we've been with you. We've seen you do things that we've seen nobody else do. Our life was fishing and tax collecting and all of that, and it seemed like we were making a living and going along, but all of a sudden you showed up and everything for us changed. We've seen the dead raised. We've seen people fed with just a few fish and a few loaves. We've seen you pay our taxes out of a fish's mouth. What are you talking about? It's expedient. It's important that I go away. We don't want you to leave. But he said, it's so important that I go away because when I go away, I'm going to send another paraclete. And what that means, that word another is the same. It's one of the same kind. It's just another one of the same kind. But here's the important thing. He said that the Holy Spirit will not just be with you. I'm with you. But if you want to be with me, you've got to be where I am. If I'm in Jerusalem, you need to be in Jerusalem. If I'm in Bethany, then you need to be in. If I'm in Nazareth, you need to be in Nazareth. You can't be in Jerusalem and me in Nazareth and have my presence with you because you need to be where I am. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He's not just going to be with you, He's going to be in you. Glory to God. And the Holy Spirit teaches us. Right? The Holy Spirit, the word Spirit is pneuma. And it means breath. Back in Genesis chapter 1 where it said He hovered over the earth and breathed. Come on, it was the breath of God. Well, that same breath is still working today. Let me say that again. That same breath is still hovering today. The Holy Spirit is still wanting to speak and wanting to talk to us and wanting to help us and to change us. You know, Jesus had sent out His disciples on His authority. He said, go in My name and go to this town or go to that town and do these things because I want you to declare My kingdom now. And so they went out. You know, first the 12, and then 72 later. And they came back and they go, man, even demons are subject unto us, right? But then He died, and He was risen, and He was talking to them. And in Acts chapter 1, I said verse 7, but we're going to go to verse 5. In Luke, he said, now you guys wait in Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere. Don't go out and spread the message yet. Don't do it yet. Watch this. He said in verse 5, it says, for John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, the word baptism means to be immersed. Right? And you know, in our water baptism, some sprinkle, some dip, some dunk, you know, whatever. But we kind of believe that you need to be totally immersed. Right? And if the rest of your head doesn't, we're going to dunk you again. Why? Because you need to be fully immersed, right? And so He said, listen, you're going to be totally immersed in the Holy Spirit. With the Holy Spirit. He's not just going to be in you. He's going to be around you. He's going to do things with you. Right? Therefore, when they had come together, verse 6, it said, they asked Him, Lord, when will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So they didn't get it. They didn't get it. We still don't get it. But the Holy Spirit helps us, right, when we don't get it. Right? Well, watch this now. He said, and He said to them, I like the way Jesus did. They'd ask Him a question. He'd just ignore the question and go on to something else. Right? This is more important. He says, it's not for you to know the times or the season which the Father has His own authority. In other words, don't worry about it. God's got that all under control. Right? Is Jesus coming soon? Awesome. He is coming soon. I believe we're in the last days. I believe all of that. But it's not my job to worry about when He's coming. I'm not going to set a date. In fact, all the dates that I've had heard set since I've been saved, and that's been several years, they've all come and gone. right? They've all, you know, 88 reasons why he's coming in 1988. And then on, he's got to come this year because there was the blood moons. And there was, listen, he's coming. But it's God's deal, not mine. That's not what we're supposed to focus on. Jesus said, listen, forget all that. Don't worry about that. God's got that in his hand. But watch what he says. But you shall, everybody say, I shall, receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You shall be receive power. That's not just authority. It's also the ability to do whatever God called you to do. But watch this. It's the ability is not so that you can have a name on a business card. Not so that you can say, well, I'm the right reverend, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. That's not the purpose. The purpose is never to highlight me. It's always to highlight him. You might be witnesses. Witnesses of what? Look what the Lord has done. I was lost, but now I'm found. I was bound by Satan, but now I've been delivered. I used to be this, but now I'm this because God did this. But look, it's not just your testimony. It's God's resident power in you backing up your testimony. Because I know that if God did it for me, he'll do it for you. You can go around all day saying God loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. But if you don't believe it and haven't experienced it for yourself, right? People are not going to receive the power of your words. But when you know that the Holy Spirit is with you and he's in you, he's going to cause that anointing. And listen, anointing just means a touch from God. Anointing means that the oil has been poured over me and that anointing is upon me because he wants to use me to do good for you. Right? And that's not just for the pastor or the preacher. That's for everyone. Everyone. But our focus can't be on us. It must be on God using us for somebody else. Right? Because there's several things that can happen if the focus is on you instead of the Holy Spirit. One of those things is, I can't do it. Right? The other thing is, boy, I got this. Both sides of that are messed up. You many have heard this story before, but one of the first verses that we taught our kids, and Donnie would say it, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But Donnie would say it like this, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me all by myself. She still says that. But watch this. I can do nothing of eternal value by myself. But I can do all things through Christ. What does it mean to be through Christ? It means what Christ accomplished on the cross gives me the ability to do what he's asking me to do. Who strengthens me or gives me the power to do it. Wait in Jerusalem. You got to wait in Jerusalem because when you wait, you're going to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's not just going to be in you so that you can have goosebumps. I like goosebumps, right? It's not just going to so you can shake and quake and move and all that. That's not the purpose. The purpose is so that you can be a powerful testimony for Jesus. You can witness not only what Jesus accomplished when he was here on the earth, but you can be a witness in your own heart for what he's done for you. Right? When's the last time you recognized something that God did for you? Do you meditate on that? Do you think about that? Oh my gosh, Lord, you've been so good to me. You've been so good to me. You've sustained us. You've kept us. You know, so good. The Holy Spirit. Now go to Acts chapter 2. Sometimes I think that we want to be in more involved in what the Holy Spirit gives us rather than who the Holy Spirit is to us. Right? I mean, when I first got saved, again, back in 1977, and the charismatic movement was just going on, and the gifts of the Spirit were being taught all over the place. And I mean, this was common. Well, what gifts do you have? Well, I operate in this one, I operate in this one, I operate in this one, I operate in all nine gifts of the Spirit. But again, the focus was on what I have. See, I like being used by God. I like when He gives me a word of knowledge. I like all of those things. But it's not the important thing. The important thing is that He walks with me. And He talks with me. He tells me I am His own, right? I mean, come on. That's what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit in us, through us. And then the Holy Spirit allows us to become witnesses. I love this story, and we're not going to really get into some of the issues, but in verse 1 it says, chapter 2 of Acts, it says, "And when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Why? They were waiting. They were waiting. Jesus said, "It's coming, I'm waiting. I'm going to be there to get me some." Right? "And suddenly there came from a sound of heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues of fire, and one sat on each of them. And they were all," everybody say all "filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Glory to God. This is an indication of how God works. Now watch this. "They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues." You see, the Holy Spirit will come to you, but if you don't do something with it, nothing will ever happen. I prayed for people to get their prayer language, of which I believe in, and I use constantly. It's been remarkable for me over my years, right? But I pray for them, and they'll expect the Holy Spirit to just force their mouth open and blow something out because they don't want it to be them, right? We want this to be God. We don't want this to be us. We see that's not the way it works. God will always do something with you, but you have to do something with Him first. Right? God told Moses to part the Red Sea, but he had to go to the sea and do it. He had to put his feet in it, right? God spoke to David about killing Goliath, but David had to go out there with a sling and a rock and throw the thing, or nothing would have happened. We have to be in a place where the Holy Spirit wants to use us. But when He speaks to us, we must be obedient to do it. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if it doesn't ring true to us. Or, "God, I can't do that." He said, "It's not about you doing it. It's about you obeying me. And when you obey me, I'll do it through you." Come on. Hallelujah. It's so good. It's so good. Let's skip down to verse 14. And we went through this, the whole story about they went out in the street. They were, I really believe that they were just drunk in God. I don't know if you've ever experienced that, where His Spirit is so upon you that you just saturated in Him. And they walked out in the street and they were still speaking in tongues. And I mean, that's weird, right? I mean, that's kind of strange, you know. But speaking in tongues. And it said that they all heard Him in their own language. There was people from Greece. There was people from Arabia. There were people from all over the place. And they heard them speak. But watch this. of the wonderful works of God. Glory to God. Glory to God. But here's the cool part. And I love this. Peter who denied him. Peter who was, you know, put off. And Peter who if Peter opened his mouth, you never knew what you were going to get. Right? One time it's, "You're the Christ." The next time Jesus had to say, "Get behind me, Satan." Right? I mean, you never knew with Peter. But then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And in verse 14 it says, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said to them, 'Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be made known to you, and heed my words. For these are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass that in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh.'" Everybody say all. Y'all are part of all. Let me say that again. Y'all are part of all. I'm an all. If that's true, and it is true, then the Holy Spirit is poured out on me. The moment that I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior, He's poured out upon me. Glory to God. Because Jesus paid the way for my heart to be made brand new so that I could be the very place where God dwells. Awesome. Is that awesome? So if it says all flesh, then I'm included. You're included. We're all included. But God never uses me. Well, I wouldn't be so quick to say that. Because sometimes we think, well, God never uses me. I'm not the one that lays hands on people and people get healed and demons flow out. Yes, but there are many ways that God can use you. Hallelujah. Did you know that the Holy Spirit wants to help you be a parent? The Holy Spirit wants you to help you be a grandparent. I saw a license plate. It was great. It said, "If I knew that being a grandparent was going to be this much fun, I'd have had them first." Yeah. Right? But it's a different deal. But here's the point, is that the Holy Spirit wants to use you in whatever God's got you doing. Whether you're at work, whether you're at home, whether, you know, no matter what it is, the Holy Spirit wants to use you. And according to Joel, He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. Now watch this. "Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." Now the word prophecy here isn't talking about, "Thus saith the Lord, Jesus is coming next Tuesday." Right? God can give you words of knowledge. Don't misunderstand me. But what this means here, what he's talking about every person who is filled with the Holy Spirit has the ability to speak by divine revelation. What does that look like? It's not some mystical thing that can't be comprehended. It means that you trust God that you're going to open your mouth and He'll fill it. Right? I mean, there have been many times, I remember going on this call and I it was somebody had passed away and I was still working. So I got off work and I was on my way out there and I said, "Lord, I'm just drained. But I'm your minister. I'm not going out on my own. This is not me just going out. This is me going out of obedience to the call that you put on my life. And I'm not being arrogantly demanding something, but I have an absolute expectation that I'm not going alone. And that when I go, you'll show up and you'll speak through me." And sometimes I'm almost dumbfounded because people are telling me things and I'm going, "I don't know. I mean, I don't know." But Jesus even said, "Don't worry about what you're going to speak. In the selfsame hour that God wants to use you, He'll give you the words to speak." He He's going to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. But we have to trust that God wants to use me. You're at work and you go, God, this guy that I'm working with, he's on my heart all the time, but I don't know what to say to him. You need to change up your conversation a little bit and say, Lord, if you want to use me, I'm going to open my mouth and you'll fill it. Here's the awesome part about that is that the Holy Spirit knows the heart of the one that you're trying to reach. And so He knows exact words and verbiage to be able to give to him so that, right, it can touch him. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. What am I trying to say? I'm trying to say to you today, you need to raise your expectation that the Holy Spirit isn't deposited in you so that someday when you get to heaven, everything is going to be all right. What you need to begin to realize and understand is the Holy Spirit wants to use you in a powerful way to touch somebody else. Right? Lord, who me? Yes, you. Most of us, though, are like Moses. Send somebody else. Right? No. God, use me. Use me. Listen to this. We're going to go through. I'm not even getting partially where I need to be. But watch this. It shall come to pass in the last days that I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Again, I have an expectation that the Holy Spirit is going to pour Himself out on me. I believe that. I've lived my life like that. Every year of ministry has been such that I expect you to move through me. And my feelings have nothing to do with it. There have been times where I've gotten to the pulpit and I've got, you know, I don't really want to be here. I don't feel anything. But Lord, I know that Your anointing is upon me. Your anointing is upon me to preach the Word of God. You've called me to speak the Word of God. And You've called me to speak the Word of God, not because I'm somebody, but that You want to use me in such a way that I can be a blessing to somebody else. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at this. It says, young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and on my maid servants, I will pour out of my Spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood, before the coming and great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I want to point out something. That when Jesus was talking to them and He was talking to them about Him going away, and they said, Lord, when are You going to establish Your kingdom? When is this last days? When are You coming? When is this all going to happen? And Jesus said, listen, that's not important. What's important is that you get baptized or filled with the Spirit of God. But the first thing that the Spirit of God talked to Peter about was the last days. The last day. This is going to happen in the last days. Right? But your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. They're going to see things happen. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out because the world needs us to be filled with the Spirit of God. Your neighborhood needs you. Your family needs you. Everybody needs you to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And even when you come to church, the church is not about, let's go hear what pastor has to say. No, that's not it. It's, Lord, I want to be used by You. Right? You're pouring out Your Spirit upon me, so whatever I'm doing, Lord, just use me. Use me. I was going to Bible school and going to a church, and Lord, use me. And I preached a few times, but Lord, use me. But whatever capacity you want to use me, Lord, I'm going to trust that your anointing is upon me to be used. So it was my first job. My first job was parking cars. But I believed God was going to use me to be a blessing to those people that came in, right? My second job was ushering. And it was a larger church, and this was like, this would be a section. Well, this was my section. So I would come a half hour to an hour early, and I'd pray over every seat. I'd lay hands on every seat, and I'd anoint every seat and say, Lord, whoever's going to sit in this seat, I just pray that you're preparing the way for them to receive everything that you have. And just like Paul and the apostles, they put out handkerchiefs. I'm just praying right now that your anointing is going into this seat so that they can receive whatever God has for them. See, I just believed that. I saw God move. I saw God move. See, I just trust that the Holy Spirit is using me. When I was working in the shipyard, I went into the yard and the bus going in, it was like, Lord, I'm just thanking you that you're with me today. I thank you, God, that I have favor with you and you caused me to have favor with man. Let me be a blessing to those who are in the shipyard. And I have a few of my friends that I worked with that still talk to me. I was out with one not too long ago, and he said, you don't understand. God used you to save my life. I was bound, but now I'm free. I was on my way to divorce, but we've been married for, all of these years. God used you. How? I was just there. Yeah, but you don't understand. You don't understand. Now watch this. I'm not bragging on me. I'm bragging on the Holy Spirit. But what I'm trying to paint a picture inside of you, it doesn't matter your age. It doesn't matter your sex. It doesn't matter what others say about you. What matters is that you trust that the Holy Spirit is in you and He wants to use you, and He will if you will let Him. And your influence is not about your influence that pertains to this earth, but it's the kingdom of God for eternity. Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. The book of Acts talks about, well, let's just go chapter 6, and I'll try to do this real quickly. Y'all getting something this morning? Right? Are you going to do anything about it? Or see, what I want you to do tomorrow morning is to wake up, Holy Spirit, here I am. Here I am. If I'm going to work and I'm going through whatever I need to do for work, you're going to be with me. And Lord, if you put somebody across my path, I'm going to trust that you're going to speak through me, right? And Lord, I'm going to be the best worker that can be because your Holy Spirit is on the inside of me. And Lord, you want to give me favor with man. So you'll give me ideas to solve problems, Lord, that other people can't solve because I have the Holy One inside of me who knows what needs to be done. In Acts chapter 6, it's the story of when, the church was growing, and if a church grows, there's problems that come. Right? Because this people don't like what these people are saying, and this person doesn't like, and what about me? And we don't get ours, and my, all of the things that our flesh gets involved with, right? Look at verse 2, it says, chapter 6, verse 2, it says, then the 12 summoned the multitude of disciples and said to them, it's not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. He wasn't saying that it was beneath us, but that's not our place. But watch this. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Ghost. What for? To serve tables. But anybody can do that. No. Not in a kingdom way. Right? Not in a kingdom way. Yeah, everybody can do the job, but not filled with the Spirit that will be a witness unto the Most High God. We've got to be filled with the Spirit. Got to be filled with the Spirit. Why am I doing this? Because God told me to. And if God told me to, then He's going to use me in a powerful way. So if I'm teaching Sunday school class, if I'm in the nursery and all the kids are doing is just running around, and you know, what good am I? The Holy Spirit is on the inside of me, speaking into these little children who have a call from God, who are equipped by God to do mighty things for them. I'm equipped to be their mother. I'm equipped to be their father. I'm equipped to be their uncle because the Holy Spirit is inside of me. And verse 5 says, and they saying, please the whole multitude. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Spirit, to wait tables. To administer the problems. To make sure that this one got enough, that one got enough, and that everybody was fair and everybody was getting their part. A man full of faith. Full of faith. What does that mean? That just means he trusted that God would use him because the Holy Spirit was in him. Look at verse 8. And then the word of God spread, and the number of disciples... Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. Waiting tables. Waiting tables. What's that look like? What's that look like? Listen, you've got a problem? Let me pray for you. Let me pray for you. And I expect when I pray for you, the Holy Spirit is going to even tell me how to pray for you. But when I pray for you, I have an expectation that something's going to be done. Because the Holy Spirit lives in me. And I'm not praying for you. I'm not serving you by myself. The Holy Spirit, who is a person who lives and dwells on the inside of me. He has spoken to me. Jesus said He would give me the power or the ability to do what God called me to do. And He does, and He has. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So he got in trouble, and he was before all the religious folks, and it got him killed. But while they were stoning him, right? When they were stoning him, the angels of God came and the sky opened up to him. And I mean, can you just imagine the people around him? Right? And it says, in a little footnote, that there was a man that was holding the coats of those who were doing the stoning. His name was Saul. I believe, watch this, nothing happened right then, but I believe that Saul experienced the presence of God at Stephen's death. And it was the first seed to the witness that Saul eventually gave his heart to Jesus, and he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. So don't be concerned about the bigness of what the Holy Spirit has you doing, because the influence that you have might be to Saul. Right? It might be to Saul. It might be to somebody. Look at somebody witnessed to Billy Graham. Somebody preached to Billy Graham. And he got saved. And look what happened. Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We want to honor you. We want to worship you. We thank you, Lord, for being with us. We thank you for using us. Lord, I pray over everybody that's here in the room and those that are watching online, that we begin to recognize again and stir up those gifts that you put inside of us. And even, Lord, if we can't move, even if we're physically unable to move, or whatever our circumstances are, you still dwell on the inside of us. So you can use us. And like the prophet of old says, Lord, here am I. Use me. Here am I, Lord. Use me. And before anything happens, Lord, I'll give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Lord, how can I run my business without you? I can't. So I give you my business, but I just have an expectation because of your word, not because I deserve it, but because you said you'd be with me, that you're going to be with me in these decisions that I'm going to make. You're going to be there for the provisions that I need. You're everything that I need of. Lord, I just thank you that tomorrow, even though others have left me and others have gone and I feel like I'm all alone, I know that I'm not, because your Spirit dwells on the inside of me. And Holy Spirit, I'm just laying my life down again for you. Use me any way that you see fit to use me. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory, because I have an expectation that God wants to use my life to be a witness to somebody else who's going to hell, that the kingdom of darkness has them blinded, that God wants to use me to be one of those laborers that opens their eyes to see the light and to see Jesus. Lord, I have that expectation, and I pray that over every person that's listening to me right now. There is nobody in the sound of my voice that is without significance. God created us for purpose. Lord, I thank you for touching everyone in Jesus' name. If you're watching online, if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, that's the first step. But once you make him the Lord of your life, the Bible says that he'll come in and he'll sup with you, he'll meet with you, he'll stay with you, and he'll give you that power. Just open up your heart. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come before you, and I recognize there's no way that I could come into your presence on my own righteousness. But I need Jesus. Jesus died for my sins. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. God, here I am. Use me. In Jesus' name. Amen. Father, touch all those who are watching online. Bless them. If they need to be healed, heal them. If they need wisdom, Father, give it to them. Thank you for answers that are coming right now. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for it. In the name of Jesus. Amen, amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.